Is it a major discovery or is it bait and switch? Next on Principles and Policies. Hello and welcome to today's Principles and Policies broadcast. I'm Chuck Michaelis and I am the Vice Chairman of the Institute for Principled Policy and the Executive Director of Camp American. And normally I'm the co-host on this show. Unfortunately, the regular host, Barry Sheets, has suffered some technical difficulties with some equipment that he needs to be able to dial in here so that we can make a program, and we use the miracle of Skype. If you all know what Skype is, we also use another program that allows us to record Skype. And as you've heard lately, some of the programs have sounded a little rough. And the reason they've sounded a little rough is apparently Barry's had a piece of equipment that's been failing for a little bit, and it finally gave up last night in the middle of our attempt to make this radio show. He just discovered, now this is truly the story of a man who's blessed by God. He called his company today to find out how long his warranty was, and his warranty expired as of midnight tonight. So Barry gets a brand new piece of equipment to replace the one that is faulty, and it was the last day of the warranty. So he has a lot to be thankful for, and we give thanks as well, so he will continue to be able to join us here on this program without having to drive 120 miles to get with me in studio in order to be able to record these. So we're going back to have a look at some articles that we've been looking at to look at some recent work by the NASA rover. And some controversy has arisen because there have been some rumors floating around that NASA was going to make a big announcement, and the implication, especially by places like NPR, who apparently had a reporter on site, a certain discovery was made, were intimating that life had been discovered on Mars. Well, that has been floating around as a rumor for some weeks, and NASA has been doing its best to play it down without completely poo-pooing it. And I find out today in an article that came out in the Washington Post that essentially what has happened is that the very big spectacular thing that came up was that some organic chemicals were found in a sand sample on Mars by the rover. And there is a long way to go from going from organic chemicals in the soil and life. Now, how can I say that? Well, it's really very easy. Mars, as we've been discussing, one of the big things that has driven Martian research is the idea of the possibility of there being life on Mars. Let's not kid ourselves. There have been up to and including, you know, there have been Passovers where photographs have been taken and people thought they spotted, quote unquote, if you'll recall, the face on Mars, which turned out to be basically a geological outcropping that really wasn't surprising. But if it had been built by a civilization, the thing would have had to have been absolutely gargantuan, dwarfing the pyramids, dwarfing anything man has ever built on Earth. And essentially, it turned out to be an anomaly of the quality of the photographic equipment and tricks of shadow and light on Mars. Big shock, there was no face on Mars. It was a geological outcropping. Mars is a very active planet geologically, and by that I mean it's very volcanic. It's very, apparently, got a lot of things going on underneath the surface, because it is a rough and ready place according to all the photographs that have been taken. But all of a sudden we're finding out NASA is claiming that the Curiosity rover is in what is supposed to be a riverbed. Now, the reason they're calling it a riverbed is because it had rocks in it that look like they've been washed over. Like it happens, rocks are smoothed over by the flow of water in a river. So they're claiming that that's evidence that they are in a riverbed. Well, maybe, maybe not. As we explained in yesterday's show, there are a number of explanations for what might look like a riverbed, but really aren't. One of those things being a crater, the water flowing away from an impact of a comet, because as you recall, if you know anything about the Curiosity mission, it's being conducted in a crater. And a crater is an impact scar on the surface of a planet. And it's very easy to conceive that it was a comet that hit Mars. And if it was a comet, there are all kinds of things that comets contain. And one of those things is water. And another one of the things that comets carry in a frozen state that can melt and run away are organic chemicals. And some of these chemicals are carbon chloride compounds. Well, guess what? Comets are infamous for containing all kinds of strange carbon chloride compounds that can be detected when you take spectrographic analysis of the tails as they melt away. When you see a comet, if you'll remember a few years ago, there was a very spectacular comet display, one like hasn't been seen in many years. In the late 90s, there was a comet, two comets actually, at about the same time, and they had spectacular tails. And those tails, when you do a spectrographic analysis of those tails, you can see water, organic chemicals, hunks of ice, and hunks of solid things. You can tell very often what the comet is made of. So it's really not surprising that that kind of water was found on Mars. And organic chemicals are found on Mars. NASA knows this very well. NASA, if this little guy with a BS in biochemistry knows these things, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, I got an A in astronomy in college. One of my few A's. But yes, I got an A in astronomy. I have an interest in that. A slight interest. It's not a big deal. But we know these things can happen. So does NASA. The scientists at NASA know that very often, if they're in a comet impact crater, they're going to find organic chemicals. So, what is NASA, what's their agenda here? Well, I'm going to read from an article by Gary North that's posted in lewrockwell.com on, I believe it's 12/3. It's called The Martian Boondoggles. And Gary asks, in an article in which he's going over a report from NASA, he says, and we talked about this yesterday, microbial life is the key. It has been the key to tens of billions spent on this boondoggle, and he means Mars missions, for over 15 years. There are no reports about findings that do not discuss water or the absence of water or the possibility of water. Why? Because water is basic for life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a biochemist. This is absolutely true. No water, no life. God set it up that way. That is his plan. No water, no life. Okay. Curiosity is exceeding all expectations. That is the rover, Curiosity rover. So we read, the mission already has found an ancient riverbed on the red planet. We mentioned this earlier. And there is every expectation for remarkable discoveries still to come. Now, Nor says, excuse me, a riverbed as in river, as in water? Well, no, there is no sign of water. But hey, let's call it a riverbed anyway. What's the harm? And North then asks the question and answers it. Here is the harm. Christians and Jews who think that the Bible is true say that man is the ethical and judicial center of the creation. But if there is life anywhere in the universe, then men may not be the center. So if there is ever life on Mars, the Bible's creation story is compromised. This conclusion is compromised. Man is the ethical center because he alone is the image of God. When you think about it in those terms, you can see what is going on. And here's what North says about this. The bureaucrats at NASA who spend our money on endless Martian boondoggles, and I happen to agree with them, it's a waste of money to continue to go back to look for signs of life, especially in places where you know that they're going to be found. This is sort of like hiding things and then finding them so you can say, look what I found, when you already knew they were there. Go back to the beginning, the bureaucrats at NASA who spend our money on endless Martian boondoggles with no economic payoff have a theological agenda. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, there is a theological agenda behind these explorations. They want to prove that the creation story is just that, a story. They are taxing millions of people who believe the Bible story in order to disprove this story. Gary North is absolutely correct. That is the exact reason why NASA is doing this. Here's what NASA says. Knowing full well this isn't true, but they've got to keep looking. Among our discoveries about Mars, one stands out above all others, the possible presence of liquid on Mars, either in its ancient past or preserved in the subsurface today. Water is key because almost everywhere we find water on Earth, we find life. If Mars once had liquid water or still does today, it's compelling to ask whether any microscopic life forms could have developed on its surface. Is there any evidence of life in the planet's past? If so, could any of these tiny living creatures still exist today? Imagine how exciting it would be to answer yes. I'm going to be quite honest with you, and I explained this yesterday. The chances of finding life on the surface of Mars is virtually nil. That is because, as we explained yesterday, Mars has no magnetosphere to protect the surface from cosmic radiation and highly charged particles from the sun and other particles, highly charged, high-energy particles. In other words, what would happen to any life on Mars, and this is important to understand, life, generally, as we understand it, has a DNA as the basis for reproduction. DNA is not very tightly held together. The bonds that hold DNA together are just strong enough to hold up under normal conditions and weak enough that they can be very easily destroyed by high-energy cosmic radiation. What that means is that on the surface of the planet, it would be very difficult for any kind of organism, it doesn't matter what type, unless they're shielded in some way from radiation, and most biological things are not shielded. I can't think of any creature that is shielded from radiation biologically. Unless they are shielded biologically, they will not survive on the Martian surface. NASA knows this. They know it, and they don't tell you this. This is what's important about this whole thing. They've got to figure out a way to make it look like there's life on Mars, or the possibility of life on Mars, knowing full well that life could not survive on the surface. This does not mean that there couldn't be life in a cavern or underground someplace. They're talking about under the soil, because of course here on Earth we have all kinds of bacteria that live under the soil and are shielded by the soil, because the soil will act as a shield. But here's the problem with that. You've got to have liquid water under the current theories for generation of life. Now, one of the things NASA needs you to believe is the idea that if you mix water and organic chemicals together, life is going to be generated in that way. Okay, what's the problem with that? The fact is, experiment after experiment after experiment after experiment has been done where this has been attempted. Sometimes you get a few organic style proteins, small ones. Sometimes you get things that look like certain kinds of organic acid, but you get a mix of them. And it's a chemical fact that human beings have a chemical structure that requires basically specifically rotated molecules. In other words, every functional amino acid in human beings are L-rotated. Now, I'm not going to go into a long, windy explanation of that, especially since I've got about 30 seconds left. But the fact is, these L-rotated amino acids are the only ones that are available to make proteins. If you throw in R amino acids, it completely destroys the shape of the chain. If you destroy the shape of the protein chain, you destroy the functionality of the protein. Could things have evolved this way? Well, no one's been able to make it happen. Nowhere has anyone been able to make it happen in a test tube. So you can make all the claims you want that the presence of these chemicals indicates the possibility of life. Well, it also tells about the possibility that it was just simply an organic chemicals that came off a melted comet. There's certainly far larger chance of that than it coming from life on the surface of Mars. That being said, we have to say that there's a great possibility that NASA is running a bait and switch on us here. They want the money to keep the people employed, to keep the program running, so that they can keep sending missions to Mars and say, we're closer to proving that there was life on Mars than we ever have been before. And every time they come back, we need to send another mission, we need to send another mission, we need to send another mission. This is a way to keep the money train flowing. Well, with that, I'm out of time. Hopefully, I've explained to you why this is a bait-and-switch operation. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.